Thank you for listening to the Fierce Audie podcast, where we talk about disability, quackery, parenting, and Jewish life.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello, everybody. If for those who don't know me, my name is Aviva. I am an autistic child. I'm an autistic adult, and I am an autistic parent to autistic and non-autistic kids. I have been an activist alongside Emma Dalmaine and Melissa Eaton for about 10 years, and I do research into different things that have been affecting the autistic community, biomedical or not. About a year ago, I stumbled upon a cult within the autistic community called Scriptures Prescription Ministries. It is ran by a person named Rebecca Samuel, and she does prey on people who have experienced religious trauma, and we all know in this community that is quite prevalent. So, there has been a study on why disabled people have had bad experiences in the religious setting more often in church, and why there is spiritual trauma. So there, according to the National Survey of Children's Health, this has been going on for quite some time. The odds of an autistic child never attending religious service was nearly twice as high as compared to typical kids. The odds were also significantly higher for children with ADHD, developmental delays, and other neurodivergencies. According to this study, sanctuaries were more understanding to children with health conditions like asthma, type 1 diabetes, epilepsy, and other physical conditions. So if my child's Dexcom went off in the middle of a sermon, there would be no big deal. These children were just as likely to be at religious services than, I don't want to say healthy children, but children without any physical conditions. Neurodivergent children were often excluded from other social gatherings and have the greatest need for community social support. These children were more likely to feel unwelcome when attending religious services. I would like to think that this research could serve as a wake-up call to religious communities as in our nation, said Clemson University sociologist Andrew Whitehead, the researcher who ran the study. In many ways, this population is unseen because they never show up, or when they do, they have a negative experience and never return. Because if you have a negative experience, why would you return? Dr. Whitehead has two autistic children who are non-speaking and currently attend church. We've had a church tell us that there are no way for them to serve our children's needs, and if we were to attend, it would either have to be either my wife or I providing him care every Sunday. We have also spent over a year not attending because we just didn't have enough strength to try to navigate a new place of worship. Try to advocate for our children's needs on top of all the other care work we are involved with through the week. It's just way too difficult and it is too much. The stats from this study. The odds of children with depression or anxiety never attending church were 1.73 times greater than a child who was neurotypical. The odds of children with oppositional defiant disorder never attending was 1.36 times greater. The odds of children with ADHD never attending was 1.19 times greater. The odds of autistic children never attending were 1.84 times higher. The reasons for this can be complex, but prior research shows barriers put up by the congregation are a major factor. They can be lack of training and programming and other barriers. They can be patronizing to children, and this makes them very uncomfortable. So 1 year before our last rabbi joined our shul, before, you know, the one in Florida that we, you know, I have said a lot about, there was something that happened during Purim. So those who don't know, Purim is the story of Esther. And there is, I guess, so a performance, I want to say, called the Purim Spiel. So there is a reenactment of sorts. And sometimes they're themed and sometimes they're not, depending on the community. So Purim is a Jewish holiday about the story of Esther. It is It was supposed to be a fun holiday and kids really enjoy this. Bug, my now 14-year-old, was 4, so this was before the last rabbi was replaced by our really amazing rabbi, and I really do mean that. Anyway, during the service, every time the cantor chants, Haman, noisemakers or groggers as they are called, are used to drown out this his name because he forced all Jews to bow down to him. Little did he know, the king's new wife Esther was Jewish and she tricked him into freeing the Jewish people. At the end of the spiel, there was a play known as Spiel. This play is put together by children to retell the story of Purim in a creative way. Bug was 4 and he was sitting in the aisle watching. An elderly woman yelled at him to sit in the pew. I explained to him that it was uncomfortable for him and it wasn't hurting anybody. She then told me I should have left my kids at home and told me to leave. I took a photo of her and sent it to the rabbi. Then the rabbi had a chat with her, and since she was a big donor, they did nothing. When the new rabbi was hired, we told him about the situation, and he told her this wasn't tolerated. So the cult that we were speaking about is called the Scripture Prescriptions Ministry. The person who started all of this is autistic, and her name is Rebecca Samuel, and now she goes by Rebecca Josanne. She calls herself a Jill of all trades. She calls herself the Lady Gadget. According to her, she is an artist, an author, blogger, tech expert, teacher, and life coach. Rebecca Samuel, aka the Lady Gadget, is on the autistic spectrum, a small business owner, a community organizer, and life coach. This is a direct quote from her website. These are not my words. As an autistic, she is passionate about discipleship, life coaching, spiritual and emotional healing ministry, local community work, and a blogger, tech education, and support. She started this ministry and calls herself a life coach with no formal training. In order to lead a church, she needs to go to a seminary. No formal training is in clerical studies or life coaching. There are several Facebook groups that she currently runs. They are called Divinely Aspired Studio, The Healing Place, Trauma Healing and Rejoining, the Autistic Christian Fellowship, and Christian Autism Support. The books she has written are Letters of Love. Samuel has been featured in a book. It is called Letters of Love. She wrote part of the book. She is one of 12 authors in this book. She acts like she is the best-selling author. No, the other people made the book good, too. I haven't read it, so I don't have a direct opinion of it. The services Rebecca Samuel offers. Hair, skin, and health with no credentials or training. You do need an esthetician's or a cosmetology license. Quote, Asperger's and Christianity, unquote. A little Aspie supremacy too. Custom website templates, blogger tech support services, photography, biblical discipleship, and spiritual support. There is no training to back any of this up. So the main thing that we're focusing on is Scripture's Prescription Ministries. She calls it the Healing Place. Services offered: recover from trauma, restore your identity in Christ, rejuvenate your faith, reconcile your relationships, repurpose your pain to kingdom passion. Scripture's Prescription Ministries was started by Rebecca J. Samuel. It is ran from a Facebook page and Discord channel. The Facebook page was started on June 22, 2019. The Discord channel was started on May 21, 2021. Thankfully, her Facebook page has only 300 followers. That was when I wrote this. It does not have very many followers at that point, but let's see. Prescription Ministries. See how many followers she has. Oh, I can't even find it. That might not be such a bad thing. looks like her Facebook page might have been taken down, but she's still running it from her Facebook groups. On her website, do you feel broken? Like, no matter how much you try to get life to work for you, there seems to be something that interrupts your progress every time. Maybe you've never experienced joy in your life. Instead, are tired, depressed, anxious, and barely making it day to day. Many of us go through life with trauma. It can stem from abuse in our childhood, a bad relationship, or even from church. Those who were supposed to protect us and love us. Most of us don't recognize it when it manifests later. We find ourselves stuck in patterns, behaviors, and habits that hold us back from succeeding in life. And we don't want to live this way, yet we don't know the way out. Some of us may feel as if we are called to something greater and have no idea where to begin. These are direct quotes from her. I remember these times I awoke 3 to 5 panic attacks a day, hiding in my closet, trying to push out the noise and the stress, screaming in my home when my husband wasn't around. Anything to seek relief from physical pressure of life. At the time, I did not know I was autistic and led to even further sensitivity outlets and intensified how I was feeling. There had to be a way out. Finally, I was able to see a counselor, but she didn't truly get me. Eventually, she quit on me because my trauma was too much for her to handle. I was told by another therapist I didn't qualify for EDMR therapy because for my chronic PTSD diagnosis because I did not have the support system needed to last and get through it. Does this sound familiar? It seemed all hope was lost for me. But then a counselor came into my life, truly listened to my frustrations, and showed me I had what it took inside from of me to heal, along with my faith in God, the Word of God, and willingness to take action. I learned more about myself over the next few years. I began to see patterns and cycles in my life, not just my own, theirs as well. That's when I knew God, through my own trauma, gave me a gift to see healing on the horizon for others. In 2019, He gave me a vision and instructions to start Scripture Prescription Ministry, which started out as practice. But then, as I watched one life after another be transformed through this gift in every life I touched and interacted with, I realized God was doing something huge there. In 2021, He moved me forward on Easter weekend to start Identity Recovery Program, a one-on-one life coaching trauma healing program to help those of you who are fighting through each day in an uphill battle, find hope and healing, a transformational experience like no other. An identity recovery, we explore the roots of your paralyzation and loss of identity through the way. We push past the mental, emotional, and spiritual blocks through practices, practical tools, exercises, and other resources I've created in one on-one sessions to recover the identity meant for you through Jesus Christ, targeted biblical Bible disciple in scripture prescriptions will renew your mind, healthiness, and wholeness. I will uproot the sources of your trauma. You will be set free from those constraints of your traumatic childhood, adulthood. Past abuse regards of what kind will no longer define your identity to keep you held back from living the life that you want to live in freedom. In my upcoming paid membership community, The Healing Place, you're invited to walk through the deep roots that prevent you from moving forward in this life with others who understand. As you grow in your faith in God's word, you will learn to make Jesus your number one passion and focus. All of this sounds great, but this very verbiage is used to prey on the vulnerable to join a cult. They offer membership for $25 a month, but they also offer other members to sponsor new members who can join either way, more money for her. She uses the fact that she is autistic and has PTSD to prey on others. Soon after I discovered this, a victim spoke out. Another advocate reached out to me because they were worried about their friend. They were added to a chat group, a victim, and the advocate wished to be anonymous, and it shall be honored. The chat group was started by Ms. Samuel. This victim had no idea that this chat group was being made about them. The rundown. This is the information about the chat. My name is Rebecca. I am a friend of blank. We're not going to say what her name was. And beginning working with her mental health and life coaching pro bono for about 6 months or maybe longer. Pro bono, like she's some kind of lawyer. I know a lot about their life and situation. You guys were invited recently to their group, which is why you've received this. Without giving too many details, their home situation, despite what they are saying and believing, is not as safe as they are being led to believe. I see something called an abuse cycle occurring here. Recently, their family, who are perpetrators of the abuse, took their iPad away with all accounts, which of course exposed all their friends to them. I was able to very quickly help them shut down all accounts. All accounts were supposed to be deleted and removed, and they were supposed to go offline according to our plan until we could figure out something else out that was safe for everyone. Then I discovered they made this group, and they told me that it was their original profile that was exposed to their family. I know this person, and they do not know what they are doing with all of this. My goal and aim is to get them back online, but safely with fresh everything unattached to her profile or identifiable information. They need our support as friends, but they are also looking to be extra careful online. Their phone was threatened to be taken next. I am working on a protocol safely with them on how to keep them safe and protected from a breach again. To be cut off from our community and support completely would be detrimental to their mental health and situation. So my goal is to keep that intact. Now, because they have an old profile connected to this group, we need to leave them immediately. Unfriend and block any of their accounts right now that identify them. This person and their location, birth date, game choices, references, even. I realize that it's a character name in another one of their stories, which I think they told the family about. I am working with them on a safe communication avenue to set up a new profile strategy with none of this information so no one would know it's them or get into their accounts from an iPad or a phone. We have to be vigilant with this situation, but we also can be the support they need safely by going these routes. Now that I wrote this, I am going to unfriend and block their accounts and leave their group. We can set up a fresh one once we know everything is good, and I'll invite you via Discord. See the link in the first message. If you have questions, you can scroll through this thread for info, but then join our Discord. This thread will be deleted soon. Thank you. So after this was posted, I was added to the Discord channel that was made for this purpose. So in that Discord channel, it said, 1. Grandmother did not threaten to sue us as a lawsuit specifically and cannot, in a situation like this, have any legal standing if she tried. But she threatened person with removing their devices, sending them to a mental health facility, isolation in the definition of the word, and if the grandmother was not knowing their legal bounds, she could try to sue or cause trouble for a specific person she's seen messages as intimidation. 2, one of our own mental health challenges was targeted to this person as someone accused of trying to take this person away. There was a threat based on a comment how they'd help her if she wanted to move to their state in a casual conversation, and she was sharing things with us. She took it as they were going to take her, and then they get a weird call that someday, with someone claiming to be a psychologist, asking for the social security number, may have been unrelated, but it happened within minutes. The way this person tells stories, there can be a time in between, and we don't know. Just a weird coincidence caused them to get freaked out and triggered by some anxiety that they were already having. 3, threats are empty because the grandmother, but she has called us outsiders and warned this person not to talk to us. She has taken her iPad and keys, seen messages, and now is on higher alert. This person did get them back, but is being talked about counseling. But nothing is guaranteed, and this person, and this is the beginning stages. For now, we wait. If anything else needing to be cleared up, please ask me so we can get stories straight. Also, again, this person has told me things that she needed to clarify later, so I'm passing on what I'm learning from this person to understand the situation and to be best, and the best we cannot being there. I try my best to be more clear so I'll understand by what I mean to say. Oh, the challenges of neurodiversity when relaying this information. This victim had no clue about all of this. The victim messaged me because the advocate told them that they could reach out to me. This is what really happened. This is what this person said. I should have listened to my family about her. I mean, at the time, I was self-diagnosed autistic because I was trying to figure out if I was at all autistic. She started sending me abuse cycle pictures because I was telling her a way family didn't listen to my autism traits. I think she took advantage of that. I mean, I just wanted my family to try to understand my autism a little bit more. I feel like now they understand because of my diagnosis. This worries me now because I have to worry that if she'll try to contact me or try to send me something without knowing, she was trying to send me a burner phone, but I don't know if she's still trying. I want no connection to that woman now, talking about Samuel. The advocate had talked to their grandmother on the phone and everything was okay. The victim wanted to be understood, and Miss Samuel took advantage. The victim is frightened of Rebecca Samuel, but they are safe. So we did get that rectified. It just took a lot and a lot of infiltrating, but we did get her safe. So a couple of days ago, while I was getting caught up on work, I got this message on Instagram from another victim who wanted her story shared, but again, wanted to remain anonymous. So years after posting this article, which is how they found me, was I wrote a blog about Miss Samuel. Another victim of this cult reached out. She was sucked in, and after she was scammed out of a lot of money and a friend sent her this article, she contacted me. She has asked to be anonymous, and I will respect her choice. She joined her autistic Christian group last year and is pretty sure that Rebecca sought her out after she posted in the group about her own personal trauma. She has a history of spiritual abuse and from the past that was still happening. Rebecca messaged her claiming that she could do numerous things to help her with their trauma. She had sticker shock at the price, but Rebecca manipulated her into paying her outrageous fee after making false promises. This was for one-on-one, so the $25 a month was for the group, but she is keeps on raising her price just to exploit people in their weakest moments, or the most vulnerable moments, excuse me. This informant thinks Rebecca might have helped in one way, but a lot of it was her stalking her personal Facebook page and monitoring her posts. After creeping her page, Rebecca then claimed in sessions that the informant was triggered. Rebecca then told the informant that she needed to stop posting on her own Facebook page because she was feeding into stuff. I mean, she has no power over someone's personal Facebook page. I'm sorry. One time, Rebecca had her write a letter to a family member, pressing her to send it. The informant did not feel comfortable sending it because the letter was addressed to a toxic family member. I personally have experience with that because when you open line of communication, you leave yourself vulnerable and you've spent all this time becoming no contact and building up that wall, and then the wall will come crashing down and then worse things can happen. Rebecca did change her mind, and she said that the informant did not have to send it. Once the informant showed, quote, signs of healing, unquote, Rebecca pressed her to share things on TikTok. It made the informant uncomfortable that Rebecca wanted her to rebrand herself and be catchy. She also wanted the informant to be on podcasts and stuff. The informant told Rebecca that she did not want to be famous. She just wanted to share her stories, and people should respect that. After this happened, the informant just wanted to take a break. After she told Rebecca, she told her that she was uncomfortable with the last push. The back of her mind, she said it felt like she wanted to use her in order to get more clout, which I can totally see that. The informant said that she felt uncomfortable telling her story, telling her that she wanted a break, and she knew Rebecca would not be happy. This was because she was not getting this informant's money. Rebecca wanted to know the informant's exact reasons, and she did not feel safe doing so. So this is a conversation between Rebecca and the informant. Loading the photo now, because she sent me a screenshot. So the informant says, I'm going to take a break from the sessions for now. Rebecca says, okay, are you okay? Informant says, yes. Rebecca asks, is there a reason you're wanting to take a break? Informant says, I just think it's a good idea to do for now. Rebecca says, okay, as long as you are caught up on payments from September, or do we have one more? I know you were behind. I'm caught up. Rebecca wants to know, are we okay? I asked because of your last message. I wasn't trying to push you into moving into a direction you did not want to move in. I see a natural talent you have and a gift, and it's my job to point that out, but your ultimate decisions. Informant says, I just think we are going in different directions. I'm happy with the things I've healed from trauma-wise. I feel like I need a break. Rebecca asks, different directions as in... So I understand. Informant says, I feel I've answered enough. This makes me uncomfortable. I should be able to say what I want to break without being interrogated. Rebecca says, remember, I'm autistic and I'm asking for learning purposes. You don't have to answer, but it leaves me in an awkward place to not know why you suddenly want to end sessions. Especially if I've done something. I understand you needing a break. I'm totally okay with it, and we've definitely come a very long way where you were. I love you, and I'm proud of you, too. Informant tells her thank you. Another week went by, and Rebecca love bombs notifications. After this, Rebecca sends messages to the informant about a post she made and if Rebecca was doing the thing that she was talking about. So this person, Rebecca sends a link to her post. Is this what you think? I believe I just come across this in my feed of your post. I read the article and I agree wholeheartedly. The informant says, why would you think I believe that? Then maybe because of NAR movement, things you said you did not want to be a part of that sounded like you were saying I was doing. Informant, because I want to live a quiet life? Rebecca says, another autistic client once misunderstood one post I posted on Facebook. Then I just quit services, and even though they never had a conversation with me about it, they were making a great progress into the healing. They took that one thing they misunderstood and based everything on it. I haven't figured out if it was an avoidance of to something I was encouraging them in forgiveness for themselves, or they thought I believed something else. NAR. They also were traumatized by NAR. I am in support of this. This is a reply to them wanting a quiet life. I believe it's biblical, and for some people, God calls to this. Again, with that. Informant says, I do, however, think it's a bad idea for one that helps those with trauma, whether they are a life coach or a therapist, to being on their client's Facebook list. I do agree with that. That is a big breach of boundaries. So Rebecca replies, well, things like this can happen as I've learned, but also I like to be transparent. My profile is a ministry coaching profile. Informant says, my previous therapist was never on my list. Rebecca answers, it is not my personal one. It's very common in social media for a coach to have a social media presence for clients. Therapists and counselors who are independent, private practice, do this as well. It's how we connect with our future clients. That's not really true. You have public pages so people can find your services, but you don't interact with people on this much of a personal level through social media. Informant says, well, I'm not a fan and I don't plan on doing that again in the future. Rebecca says, how do you think mental health and life coaches connect with people they may work with? They do it through their phone. Rebecca says, not through social media or snooping Facebook. That was the informant. Rebecca says, that's like the number one way. The informant says, this makes me not want to seek out anyone who does this in the future. Rebecca said, it's how we get to know if we are a good fit. It's called market research. Informant says, no, this conversation isn't professional. And then Rebecca goes, it's taught in every business circle. Informant, what made you turn on me like this? Informant says, I'm not turning on you. Rebecca says, when I comment or like stuff, it's in support. I'm proud of you for sharing what you're sharing and helping others with NAR. Your tone just seems colder towards me and I'm really confused by it. Informant says, it's just not professional. I've never encountered anyone who is a client on a person's personal profile. I'm not being cold at all. Then Rebecca said, that's a completely different format in industry. The medical field is very different. Informant says, I'm not talking the medical field. Rebecca says, therapists and counselors are employed by organizations, but those who are in private practice find their leads through market research and then have their leads join their Facebook groups, professional profiles, etc. I'm connected with tons of them. We never connect with anyone if we didn't have some kind of way to connect. Informant says, I'm standing by my statement. It's not professional. Rebecca said, okay. To you, that may be, but the majority of all business models. You are welcome to have your opinion, though I disagree and would never have clients that way. It's what's being taught in every single business from the beginning of time of people doing business with one another. Informant says, that's fine, we can disagree. Rebecca says, you don't have to understand it, but that said, I'll unfriend you if you wish. I won't engage with you any longer, even for support or any encouragement, if you don't want me to. That's what I'm hearing. Rebecca says, Sounds like a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea for a therapist or life coach that try to have friendships. Business and friendship cannot work properly. Rebecca says, I never was trying to be your friend. We hardly talk. Informant says, then we should never have connected in Facebook, since that's the point of Facebook. Rebecca says, that's not the only point of Facebook.
It's our main lead generator for our business. That's what social media helps us do. Connects with clients. Informant says, clearly not for you. That's why I accept requests. Then Rebecca says, you found me through social media, remember? And then the informant says, I guess it should have been the red flag. Then Rebecca says, we never would have met without it. What made you say, what you're saying doesn't make much sense. So there is a lot of gaslighting and manipulation in there. And I'm really happy this person saw right through it, because this is how a lot of people prey on the vulnerable. So after this interaction, that informant blocked Rebecca on all social media. After this, the informant snooped on her via an alternate Facebook account, because we all have one, because the informant thought Rebecca might make a post about her, and she was right. The post was, wow, working on a trauma area can be very thankless profession. A former coaching client I spent a lot of time with turned and blocked me after saying a bunch of things that didn't make sense. They have a problem with connecting to my clients via social media. This is how we all connect to potential leads and meet people who might make be a good fit. This profile is not my personal one either. It is for people to connect with my ministry and coaching for support and potentially working with me. It makes no sense to never be connected with my clients via social media or to stay in touch with what's going on with their lives. To encourage what's going on with their lives, to support them. In fact, my dream clients have appreciated this about me. Genuinely caring about them and their lives. Even after we've worked together, they still are on my friends list on this profile, and they chose to be so. This client has never thanked me for anything I've actually did for them, helping them break through all kinds of things they were struggling in. That's because their money thanks you, and that's why you're doing this, not to be thanked or not to inflate your ego. Then they block me while saying they were going living the very freedom results they got from coaching. This makes me want to be way more selective with who I work with from now on, knowing the value I'm bringing and the evidence of breakthroughs. But if a client is going to take their healing process and results and then insult me, disrespect me, or turn on me like that and run, I don't want to work with ungrateful clients. It makes me feel used for self-serving purposes and then disposed of when they get what they want. It's no better than a covert operating narcissist. Can we say ableism? And not only that, you do this for money. This is your job. Whether or not I find it ethical, but it's your job. You get thanked by getting paid. You get thanked by being able to pay your bills, etc. It makes me feel used for self-serving purposes and disrespected when they get what they want. Okay, no, I just read that. We can do better as people, as humans. I'll be talking more about this topic because it's a real problem and it's not okay. I am human too with feelings. I may be tough and patient with that doesn't mean you get to abuse and use me in that way. It's the opposite message I share here. So an informant's friend saw this and commented on this post. $200 an hour is a large thank you. I saw the screenshots. I saw how you refused to let the client end services with you in a polite, we don't have the same goals. I saw how you demand answers and became defensive. I saw you keep on and on until the client finally had to block you and get you to stop. Even when they said directly, I would not like to continue discussing this. You are not medically qualified to make a diagnosis of covert narcissism. This self-pitying post is disgusting. Someone wanting to discontinue your services without having to explain themselves is not an attack. You need to sort yourself out before you pursue to fix others. After this comment, this post was deleted. Rebecca messaged the informant's friend, sent screenshots of their friend's conversation, and then blocked the friend. So this, even though it doesn't seem dangerous over time, being manipulated like this can be very dangerous. It's almost like having an abusive parent all over again. This is how I was manipulated as a kid. I don't have spiritual trauma because it's not common in the Jewish community. It does happen, but I grew up in a really understanding shul. How do you know if you are in a cult? This is very important. This is how you can get yourself out. One, opposes critical thinking. So you saw how when she was trying to make sense of everything and trying to do things for herself, Rebecca got very defensive, manipulative, etc. Two, isolating members and penalizing them for leaving. So she was trying to be isolated. They were trying to isolate her from her family. And whenever she tried to leave, Rebecca always gave her a hard time, was manipulating her into staying. And thank goodness she was strong enough to tell her to buzz off. Three, emphasizing special doctrines outside of scripture. She was trying to show that by doctrinizing social media, that she had a higher calling by a higher being. Dishonoring the failing unit. I'm sorry. Seeking inappropriate loyalty to their leaders. She wanted to become friends and break boundaries with all the people for clients. And whenever she was called out about these ridiculous lack of boundaries, she made it into a personal attack. Dishonoring family unit. So when Rebecca tried to have this person write their family member a letter telling them exactly how they felt, but it would cause more issues. Crossing biblical boundaries of behavior. Saying that she had a vision and saying that she needed to be doing this because God told her to, it's a little far out there. And separation from church. She actually said she created her own church, her own ministry. She's a little full of herself, and that's the beginnings or not beginnings. She's been doing this for a long time. This is this is very telling of someone who's leading a cult, even though they don't want to admit it themselves or they don't want to be found out. If you think you're in a cult, there is help for you. Do what you can to keep them from finding out and get out. Be safe. If you need help of any kind, feel free to reach out to me like this last person just did. People need to know about cults like this, especially preying on disabled, more vulnerable population, because we are more vulnerable to abuse. I'm not saying don't let people, because no one does this. No one willingly will say, I want you to take advantage of me. But there's a big but. Use this list to recognize if you are a victim of situations like this. Please reach out to me or someone you trust if you need help. Even though I may not answer right away, I do want to help you like I helped this other person. Thank you. Be safe. Never stop fighting against ableism. And have a very flappy and happy day.
Don't forget to subscribe or follow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Facebook, Twitter. Don't forget to subscribe or follow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Keep on speaking your truth and never let your flame burn out. Thank you for listening.